Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn the other cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Frank Neal, and I'm sick with a trading problem.
I'm Dynasty Coach A, and I'm also a little sick with the trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 353 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud proud member, as well as a browed member. That's right, I'm making up words as we go, of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Your guys' sickness is seeping into my brain already. I'm transmitting through digital media. And Herms is in the chat, and he has a trading problem. Hey, Herms, how's it going, man? Frank, you promised us that there was, like, no news left to happen after last episode.
These are fun news, though. These are fun news.
I know. There's quite a few little news things that popped up, yeah.
Where'd T. Higgins go?
we have a month and, what, like a week and a half before we
basically
figure that out?
Yeah. Do you think he'll be like first day, first 24 hours?
Part of me wants the answer, so part of me says yes, but then part of me is like, why would he? I guess he'll know the answer by then, right?
When's like tampering? When's like the stupid tampering period that's like actually signing?
I think like the 3 days before. Yeah, before free agency actually right. starts.
I should probably know that, but I don't.
It's not showing up. Oh, I have to put the year in 2024. March 11th.
2025.
Yeah, I know. Leave me alone.
March 10th.
It is. It's March 10th. Okay, so there you go. A month and 6 days from when we are recording this. And the picture is even of T. Higgins. When you type that in.
Yep.
Of course.
Like I feel like he'll know the answer by the time that even rolls around.
Like, by the time like not tampering starts, I think he'll have
because there's real tampering before the real the yes. allowed
before
tampering.
The allowed tampering. Yeah,
yeah.
So it'll happen. But before we do actually get into the news, John, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
All right, so I'm Dynasty Coach A. I have been on here 3 or 4 times now. Probably more than that, but I have a terrible memory. You can find me at Dynasty Coach A on Twitter. I am a writer/ranker on DLF, DynastyLeagueFootball.com. I also host the Debbie Devotional and Debbie University podcast. So I don't know why I haven't changed my name to Debbie Coach A, but I'm not a fan of that name for whatever reason. Dynasty Coach A is stupid enough. I don't need an even more stupid name.
You don't need to change for anybody.
I still do Dynasty. I play a lot more Dynasty than I do anything else. So, you know, even though maybe I'm not like coaching people per se as much as I used to for Dynasty purposes, I still do a little bit of it. And I play a lot of Dynasty.
There you go, and welcome. And now, let's get to the news.
Yeah, like I said, there's some fun stories on here. I actually put this one first because this was my favorite move of the week, was the passing game coordinator for the Lions, Tanner Engstrom, was hired as the Jets' OC. So the reason that this is important to me was this was the guy who was one of the, like, coaches in waiting for Ben Johnson when they were saying, like, Ben Johnson was going to leave. This was who was one of the guys who might replace him. And he brought Scott Turner in as a pass game coordinator, who was obviously the interim OC for the Raiders last year. these guys are going to throw the ball. And that's good for Garrett and Devontae if he stays. Or I saw a mock where they get Tet, and, you know, that could be fun with a with some, I'm going to keep saying it, with Sam Darnold as quarterback.
That would be so much
fun. Tet and Garrett Wilson, like, with these guys are going to throw the ball. So, John, are you buying?
The problem is the Jets.
Yes, that's true. John, are you buying Garrett on this at all?
So, I mean, at this point, you're just assuming Rodgers is out, he's retiring, all that kind of stuff. Is that what you're saying?
If you are not assuming that, then why? But if you are you buying Garrett?
I mean, if they're talking about Tet possibly going there, that's going to be tough. I mean, depending on what Adams does and everything mm-hmm. else, like, that's going to be a really rough room to yeah. play in. To answer your question, I think I still am, because I think people are lower on him than I am mm-hmm. In general. But, you know, it's just, we've seen what happens with even these top end players, top end wide receivers, when they don't have a great passing game. You know, it's not fantastic. So I don't think Sam Darnold is the truth. I think we kind of saw like who he actually was in the playoffs. Somehow he pieced together like a really solid regular season, and then you know, it all kind of, you know, came to a head there at the end. But I would not be necessarily buying because of Sam Darnold, but I would be buying because of just the talent of G Will in general. And I mean, like you said, this sounds exciting. At least it's not some like retread or something like that. So mm-hmm. there's reasons to be excited about it.
And he's coming up on contract, right? Like, this is his last year.
Yeah, this is year four.
Yep.
So this is like the chase time. It's not they have a player option to go into five.
Yeah,
right.
This
so he's yeah. right. So he's got 2 years left, but they're all starting to negotiate earlier now. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit crossing my fingers he goes to another team somehow, some way, but I'm with John. I believe in the player enough that I'm still good acquiring Garrett Wilson, and I don't think a lot of people have him as that top 10 wide receiver anymore, and I still think he can be that guy. So I'm not super afraid of that kind of I'm not afraid to pay like a wide receiver 15 price, which people might think is a great high price for Garrett Wilson, because I think he could still be that.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically where I'm at. It's kind of price dependent at this point. I mean, we kind of said last year was the year we kind of finally needed to see it, and we kind of didn't, kind of did, kind of didn't. Maybe he's just not even necessarily talent wise, but he could just be like Chris Olave at this point, like wide receiver two-ish. He's never going to get into that wide receiver one range. I mean, his quarterback situation could be in flux his entire career at this point, for all we know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to pay wide receiver one prices, but if you're getting him at 15-ish prices, then I'm fine with that.
The only thing I'll push back on, and I'll touch on Herms' comment at the same time, because yep. he said Garrett Wilson reminds him of Terry McLaurin. Garrett Wilson's ceiling was higher than both Olave's and McLaurin's already. He's already shown yeah. us he can drop a 40 burger on your head. And obviously I keep joking about Darnold, but like, Jameis is a free agent. Like, why not?
Oh, Jameis, yes. Just
some John doesn't want that, but
ball.
Like, let him bridge. Right. He doesn't even have to play for like forever.
I love the look on John's face when the name Jameis came up.
I hate Jameis Winston with such a fiery passion, and people love him because he's fun for fantasy points, and I get that, but he's so bad for the actual team that like it never works out. And you know, I want to say it was, you know, week 12 or week 13 or whatever when they finally decided they were going to Jameis, and it was like, and people are freaking out and people are paying like 2 seconds or whatever to go get Jameis so they can score 30 points a game, and I'm like, will he be the quarterback in the playoffs, in the fantasy playoffs? Because these teams give up on him so easily. So it's yeah. like, yeah, he might be exciting for 4 weeks, and then they go, okay, well, he threw 9 pick sixes in that 4 week span. So we're going to go ahead and move on now.
Yeah. Well, he made Jerry Jeudy a wide receiver one. Can you imagine what he can do with Garrett Wilson and that talent?
Oh, of course.
Did you guys, real quick side note, did you see him walking around media day, like asking for jobs? He was like asking Saquon. Like,
yeah.
where should I play quarterback next year and all that stuff. He was like one of the reporters. And Saquon's response was, I think the Giants need a quarterback.
Ice cold.
Yeah, it was great. This was a weird marriage, but Chip Kelly was hired as the Raiders OC. There's obviously still a lot of talent to figure out on this team, but Pete Carroll's like, play defense, run the ball guy. And Chip Kelly's like, we're going to run 100 plays a game guy. So this feels like an interesting mix. And the only thing I can kind of point to, and John can jump in as the Devy guy, is Chip Kelly knows how to run the dang ball with Henderson and Judkins. So maybe this is the new kind of zone running scheme Raiders. But John, what do you think about this hire as someone who's watched Chip Kelly the last couple of years too?
Yeah, I think he's a great college coach. We've already seen how he does as a head coach in the NFL, you know, not the greatest. It was a kind of a shock to the system, and so it worked for a little bit. And then teams were like, wait a second, like, all you're going to do is run and, like, do some trick plays? Like, we can actually cover that. It's not a big deal. Like you said, I think they're going to want to run a lot, but the problem is if you don't have a quarterback, if you don't have an O-line, if you don't even have a running back, you know, how exactly do you do that? So there's so much more that has to happen for the Raiders before we can say like any of this will work. And like you said, they want to be a defense first, run second, pass third kind of team. That doesn't work without the right defense, without the right O-line, without the right running backs. Zamir White's not going to cut it, guys.
Maybe Travion Henderson.
Maybe, although, I mean, would we be happy about that? I would. Like, give me Travion to a badass team, you know?
Yeah, with no one else there, though, give me Travion Henderson by himself. He'd get all the carries. And also, I know it's not in the news, but someone said the Raiders should trade for Myles Garrett and pair him with Crosby. Ooh. And Garrett wants out.
Yeah, but he wants to win.
He does. Yeah. That could be a problem. The Browns, and the reason it's not in here, the Browns basically said, like, F you, we're not trading you. Sorry. Get over it. So the favorite at the sportsbooks are, he's a Brown at the start of the season. So.
But he wrote such a nice and professional.
I know. That was like the first one I've ever seen. Do you guys even recall that? Like a full speech like that asking for a trade?
Literally never.
Russell Rocky, Chip Kelly, the Raiders, anything to add to what John said?
No, but I'm on board with you. I think I'm on board with who – I just used that way too many times. with whatever running back they bring in, because that's what they're going to do. Like it's going to be volume.
Maybe two. Two running backs, right? You can sign one and draft one. So
I mean, that kills the whole volume thing that I just brought up. Yeah. But I do think whoever they bring in will be the best running back on the roster. So, 100%. And on a Pete Carroll team, you want that running back.
Hey, fear a mirror, man.
I just feel like they have so many other things that they need to focus on. Yes. And I mean, you're talking about Trevion, you're talking about Quinshon. Both of those guys are projected to go like early to mid second right now in the NFL draft. I mean, are the Raiders spending an early to mid second round pick on a running back? I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't, because obviously it's the Raiders, but should they?
Should they? Would they?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, for sure. But there's so many running backs in this class. I mean, I just got back from the Senior Bowl. And I mean, you know, like, if you paid attention to Twitter or any kind of articles or podcasts since the Senior Bowl, you know, like, every single running back is good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I mean, at least that's what everyone's saying right now. So if every single running back is good, just take like three running backs in the fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever. 100%. You know, and do it that way, and then, you know, save the second round, third round. There's a lot of good, like, offensive, defensive linemen. There's some decent corners and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of other positions that are available that actually have quality players in, and then go get your running backs. And that might actually be perfect, because you go, okay, well, Chip Kelly wants to run. Well, you get this guy who maybe wasn't going to be, like, the guy in a different on a different team, but he's the guy for the Raiders, and now we actually get excited about him.
Yeah, 100%. I think I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm feeling better and better about it. I think there's going to be like 7 to 8 running backs taken on day two. I think there's going to be a lot of them going in day two. So could be really fun. Another McVay coaching tree guy. The Texans are hiring Rams tight end coach and passing game coordinator Nick, I'm going to guess Kaylee, as offensive coordinator.
I love it.
Cool. Yeah,
I love it.
The last passing game coordinator made the Falcons what they are. So let's do that. Let's try that again. So,
yeah, can't go wrong with the McVay guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Campbell was a tight end coach. So, I mean, maybe it's the next Dan Campbell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that works. Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, yeah, that's all it is.
And John Herms in the chat saying Chip Kelly with Jackson Dart.
I mean, I just want Jackson Dart to get A, drafted well, like drafted early, and B, drafted to a good team. I'm not saying Las Vegas is that team, but I mean, maybe, you know, you pair him with a legit head coach and Pete Carroll, legit OC and Chip Kelly, and, you know, there's probably worse places for him to land.
I don't pretend to be a Devy guy, but I think Dart needs some time. I don't think Dart can start week one.
And I don't disagree with that, but I mean, how many quarterbacks need time? Like, so many of them need
time. This year, all of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't disagree, but at the same time, like, I don't think it would be a disaster if he got thrown in right away. It just, 100%. It's not going to be 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns either.
100%. Bucks passing game coordinator Josh Grizzard will take over as the Bucks OC. They stay internal. It's still a new OC, but same system? Question mark? I don't know.
Best of a bad situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of a bad situation, the Cowboys hire former Cardinals offensive line coach Clayton Adams as their OC, which was the most shocking thing to happen in Dallas this weekend.
I missed that one.
I did too. I heard it from somewhere else.
The joke was Luka was traded this weekend at the same time.
Oh yeah, I don't do basketball. I know people freaked out about it.
And I actually knew Luka was traded, but I'm not a big Luka? NBA guy either.
What's a Luka exactly? Man, the Twitter responses to when that happened is why I'll never delete that app. That app reigns supreme when stuff like that happens.
No, it was hilarious. I don't even follow basketball or care about any of it, but it was still hilarious. So.
For the football people who don't watch basketball, the way Jordan Schultz puts it was the Mavericks traded Jamar Chase for Mike Evans in a second round pick. So, which,
from everything I hear, is like insanely spot on.
So he heard that like from an NFL GM. Yeah.
And as I said in our chat, they did it without trying to sell him, to shop him around to any other team. They just
it's like your worst dynasty manager in your league, you know?
Yeah,
And it's like the guy that trades with the same other guy over and over again. And then you go, all right, we finally got to get this guy out of the league. Come on now.
I guess on the jokes aside, it seems like the Cowboys are going to be doing the whole shoddy running game offense. So we'll see how that goes. On the Rams, two things on the Rams. Stafford said he's coming back, but he is unwilling to return to LA under his current deal. They'll figure it out. I'd be shocked. That's my takeaway. The bigger takeaway is Cooper Kupp is on the block, and the Rams said they would eat some money to make it happen. To me, there is one place and one place only where he fits, and that is the Buffalo Bills. Because they need someone who can run 6 yards and catch the dang ball. Because they don't have that. They have like 17 athletes who don't know how to catch. And they need one guy who can just sit 6 yards and catch it. So, I don't know. Do you guys have any places you want to see Cooper Kupp?
I don't think... I mean, the question, like, is he as cooked as he... as Sean McVay thinks he is?
I think he's Edelman now. I don't think he's Kupp, is the way I was trying to think about it before when I saw this. I think he's Edelman or Welker on the Broncos or, you know.
Which is insanely useful, especially for.
Cole Beasley in his peak was great, like at this type of thing.
I mean, the Panthers have been trying to get that kind of player, right? By bringing Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen, and Thielen's is 107. I guess so is Cooper Kupp, so it doesn't really matter, but. Like, honestly, I don't care where he lands. Well, that's an exaggeration. There's so many places he can land where I'll be good with him. Like, let him go to Tampa and take over for Godwin.
Someone said Cincinnati to replace Higgins.
Yeah, why not? That'd be cool.
He's only going to cost. He's not going to cost $18 million or whatever he costs right now if the Rams fleet is money. So,
yeah.
Well, I think it's, you know, you're talking about trading for a player and then paying him. What does he have? 2 years left. $20 million a year, or something, basically. Something around there.
But if the Rams take his money, that could be different.
Well, yeah, because I mean, they'll eat the cap hit, and if they eat the, you know, the cash as well, then I guess it's different. But you know, at that point, are you just trading a pick for, you know, for whatever? I don't know. What are you talking about? Like a fifth round pick? Maybe it's worth it. But I mean, if for like you were saying, the Bucks. I'm a Bucks fan. I mean, like I would much rather just pay Godwin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, know, don't and, be wrong. Yes, please. If that's on the table, bring Godwin back. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, just pay Godwin. I don't want to trade for like the corpse of Cup. And I mean, even if they eat the money, like I'd just rather pay Godwin. So yes, like there's definitely places where he should go or can go. I mean, you mentioned Cole Beasley in you know the Bills. Like, he could easily be Cole Beasley, but you're not paying Cole Beasley $20 million a year. You know, that was the whole point that made it work, was that he was getting paid, like, $7 million a year or whatever it was.
One that just crossed my mind as we're talking about this, what about the Packers?
It fits in. It's just yet another wide receiver who's not great anymore, you know.
He could catch the ball, though, which half the receivers in Green Bay can't do.
I think the Panthers one made sense, you know, like you were saying.
Oh, they, my they God, wanted, that'd be great.
Thielen, yeah, they wanted Thielen and everything, but you can kind of make Thielen and Cup work and mix it up a little bit.
They're almost one whole receiver together.
That's right.
Ascension of Jatavion Sanders, I'm in.
Yeah, let's go. Right. To Russ's point, I think he fits in, you know, about 28 different places. And let's just see where he goes. It'll depend on capital. So this was kind of a weird one. Kirk Cousins, I think this was like Radio Row or something yesterday, said he had a shoulder and elbow injury he got in week 10, and that's why he kind of sucked in those last couple games before he was benched. And to me, this just reeks of a QB competition that's going to frustrate us in the offseason. Like in the preseason, as like in August, they're going to be playing, like, you know, Cousins starts game one, Penix starts game two. And we hate it the whole way.
I don't know. Like, what did anyone have to gain from not talking about his injury that he's just bringing it up now? Like, that's what I'm really stuck at, if he's just trying to make an excuse for other teams, like if the Falcons do end up just dropping him.
I was going to say, maybe this is a trade thing. Yeah.
I mean, he did drop off a cliff, though. Like, he was Kirk Cousins-ish in the beginning of the year.
That's what,
He had a couple bad games, but I mean, he also had like a 500-yard, 5-touchdown game or something.
Yes.
In the first half of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if this was actually true, and I think Frank might be right that this is could be like, I don't know. I don't see him staying in Atlanta, though. I feel like he's going somewhere else, though.
They basically said they're keeping him, but.
Really?
That was weeks ago. And then this
They don't really have a choice unless somebody's going to pay for that, you know?
Right. They have one more year until they can basically get rid of him for free. They have to keep him this year. But after that, they can basically cut him for, like, you know, $10 million dead cap across 2 years, which is nothing. So
the whole salary cap is fake anyway. If they want to get rid of him, they'll find a way to get rid of him.
Okay, yes, but, like, the Saints are proving right now that it's not, because no one wants that dang job because they're $70 million over.
Yeah, but they've been $70 million over for about 70 years now, and it really hasn't affected them until now.
They also thought back when the Carson Wentz got traded that there was no way that was happening because of the cap hit the Eagles were going to take, and they took it anyway. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping and praying they trade him. But if they don't, it's going to get really frustrating, because I think you might just have to own two Falcons quarterbacks on Dynasty.
I kind of think if they do keep him, they have to just roll with Penix, though.
Yeah, they have to. Let's just say many of Rocky and Meyer's rosters will be better if Kirk Cousins gets traded.
Yes.
But to Rocky's point, you said unless he's awful, you can't bail on him. If you're gonna play Penix, you got to stick with it. That's the problem.
Which is why it it would have been covering their asses if they said that Penix was starting because Cousins was hurt. Because if he did suck, it would have been an easy way to pull him. Which is why it feels even weirder that they didn't talk about Cousins being hurt.
Yep. The place I said Cousins fit was the Browns, but if they're blowing it up with Garrett gone and all that stuff, that's not going to work anymore.
I guess that'll be who throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson. I'd like that.
I'm fine with that. Adams is probably gone then, because if Rodgers is really gone, Adams has basically said he's not staying. He'll go to New Orleans and play with his buddy for $1 million and just, you know, have fun the rest of his career. One sad piece of news, and this made me sad because I have a lot of this guy. Eric Gall had some surgery complications.
That sucks, yeah.
And he's going to miss the entire 2025 season. They basically said it already, which is heartbreaking. And then I guess on the happy note, Clark Hunt, who's the owner of the Chiefs, says Andy Reid will be back next year.
Duh.
Yeah. Can we settle something? Because we talked about this, and John can start. Do you guys think Kelsey's back if they win?
That's exactly what I was about to say. As long as Kelsey comes back also, it's fine.
Repeat, John. Does Kelsey come back?
Well, they're not going to win, so.
I know he's already said basically at the Super Bowl like press conferences and stuff that he's back for another 3 years or whatever. But I think it's one of those things where like they know how good they have it, and it's like there's really no reason to think that they can't four-peat and five-peat and so on and so forth. So I think as long as – you know, like when Brady retired, he knew like he was done – like the Bucs weren't going to go to the Super Bowl the next year. They had ruined that team because they had spent so much money on it. The Chiefs aren't that way. You know, they still have just about everything you need. Sure, I'm sure they have to work some magic with the salary cap, like you were saying, and everything. But I do think that he will stick around for a couple more years. The real question is, do you even want that player on your team? Because it was very difficult this year having a lot of Kelsey, which I do. And I mean, you know, it was one of those things where it's like you start him, you get 3 points. You don't start him, he scores 15. And it's like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he's frustrating. Are we doing off-season questions or no?
Well, let's see what happens because we do have some trades and we do have some listener questions. So now is the time where finally I get to make the guests choose. John, what do you want to do? Do you want to do, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do TradeX trades or listener questions?
So I actually saw some of the questions, and they look kind of fun. So let's save those for the end, and let's go ahead and dive into some trades.
All right. Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, and there are no TA1 trades. And look at that. Franco's missing when we're about to – you know, so
– I'm here.
Okay. We're about to talk about our trade, and you run away.
Well, I didn't want to – that's why I felt like I could go away because I wasn't going to talk for a second.
Well, okay, fine. Go away. So the first trade we have is Trade Addicts 6, where Brian Thomas Jr. and Trey McBride were traded for Amon-Ra St. Brown, DK Metcalf, the Theo Johnson, the 206, and the 301. So one more time, BTJ and Trey McBride for Amon-Ra St. Brown, DK Metcalf, Theo Johnson, the 206 and 301. I'm so happy we have pick numbers. John, why don't you go first? How do you feel about that one?
All right, so this one was pretty easy for me. I think even if you took away the tight end premium, I'm still probably leaning the BTJ and Trey McBride side. And then when you add in the premium, like, 206 is great, 301's great, Theo Johnson's a person in the NFL, you know, but like, yeah, give me Brian Thomas Jr. and Trey McBride, especially in a 1.75 tight end premium.
I think I agree with John, but it's a lot closer for me, I think, than it is for John. BTJ did look great, but I know Amon-Ra's great. And I still, you know, DK is not what maybe as good as he once was, but especially if we talked about the possibility of him maybe moving somewhere else, maybe that improves things for him. I think a lot of the problem with his fantasy production is Geno Smith. So I don't think it's like any highway robbery or anything, but yeah, I think I would. And plus, I love Trey McBride. He's just a machine, especially in tight end premium. So when we saw last year, he had like what, one touchdown the entire year and was still like
in the last game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was still, you know, great top five tight end for fantasy. So I think you have to go with that side, but it's close to me.
So I'm going to go first because I'm going to tell the story of why I did this trade. So last year during the rookie draft, a sweet, sweet man named Adam Wilde had the pick after me. I think I had the 110. He had the 111. And he's sitting there telling me how he had one quarterback on his team. And he's like, look, I need to trade up. Let me trade up to grab Knicks. Just let me do it. Just let me trade up to grab Knicks. I want to trade up to grab Knicks. And I'm like, fine. He threw me some extra stuff. He traded up and he drafted Brian Thomas Jr.
Oh,
you son of a sweet man. Like, I can't.
I can't say I've had that happen to me in all my leagues. Like, I mean, I think I would.
I play with some
just
PBS
laugh.
People.
Like, what else can you do? But yeah, like, holy crap.
Yeah, and like, it's really fun. Like, both of our teams at the time were really, really bad. Like, I'm just coming out of my rebuild. He came out of it last year. So either of us were really just taking the best players we could. So I was like, yeah, I'd like to have BTJ, but you know what? That's fine. I'll take whoever's, you know, I'll let him get someone and let me just take Brian Thomas Jr. And then all of a sudden he took Brian Thomas Jr. I'm like, well played, Wilde. Well played. And I wish I could, I don't even remember who I drafted at that point, but it was just like, so I wanted Brian Thomas Jr. back on my team after being so, so easily fooled.
And I'm a nice guy.
And it really did hurt me to give up St. Brown because I do firmly believe he is a top tier wide receiver, both in the league and for fantasy. Like Chase, Jefferson, and then we could start talking St. Brown. Like, I think he's right up there. So while I love Brian Thomas Jr. and Trey McBride is great in tight end premium, giving up St. Brown, and I believe in DK Metcalf. I believe in the talent, and I believe that talent will show out. I do want him to go somewhere else because I want JSN to show out as well. And I don't think that offense is good enough to do both of them. So let DK go somewhere. But accepting this trade was A, to get Brian Thomas Jr., and to B, hashtag for the content. This was a very good trade. I thought this was very, very fair. And I don't know if I would have sold St. Brown if we hadn't just gone 2 weeks without a trade on the show.
I'm laughing because Russ is such a nice person. The first two people said it's like Thomas and McBride in a runaway.
Rocky said
it was close. I know. And then Russ is like, this was such a fair trade. I really love it.
I thought it was.
Look, I it was partially hashtag for the content, but I do think DK's somewhere else. I am hoping it's with May, and if it's with May, he will be number one. There's no one on that team even close to the talent of DK Metcalf. And the Metcalf I keep seeing in my head, there's a lot of misinterpretations about DK Metcalf. The thing that the Metcalf haters will always say is, like, people just saw the workout picture from, like, 5 years ago now, with the shirtless picture, right? And everyone's like, I want him to be that. What I see is the DK Metcalf in the Dallas game, who just dominated people. It was like a couple years ago now. It was a Thursday football game. He had, like, 12 catches for, like, 170 yards and 3 touchdowns. Just dropped it on you. And that upside is always going to be there for DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can get that and give away McBride, and, you know, this is right after we talked about McBride being potentially the tight end one 2 weeks ago, but I think I'm going to start a new character that is like my heel persona is that tight ends don't matter. and I don't know how I'm going to spin it, but I'm going to work on that. It'll be something I work on in the off season, in the non-point scoring season. And I think if I were to be that character right now, I would say that the Cardinals are going to add another wide receiver, and there's no way McBride's going to get the workload he got.
I do agree that they're going to add another pass catcher.
And I think Marvin Harrison's going to get better. I think they're going to figure out how to use him. So the math I did in my head to get to this trade was Amon-Ra and the 206 for Brian Thomas Jr. and then McBride for Metcalf, Theo, and the 301 was how I kind of cut it up, and I think I was okay with both of those. So that's why I did it. Plus hashtag for the content.
Can't believe he came for Theo Johnson. That was his counter. His
you
counter
laugh. Adding... If it's Shadur, that he's worth something.
I'm half joking because Theo Johnson was starting to do pretty well before he got hurt.
Yeah,
he was. And I liked him coming in. And
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to go back to J-Mike and get Travis Kelce now because that was the same league where he offered me that.
There you go.
So
he ain't retiring.
Right. So,
Frank, the only thing about that is, and I don't really disagree with anything that you truly said, but you're hoping or praying that he's a Patriot, that Metcalf is a Patriot in this scenario.
Yes and no.
There's so many other options that can happen.
Yes.
And so, and unfortunately, in my experience, a lot of times it's like, oh, I want this player to go here. 100%. And then they go to the worst possible, you know, spot they can go to. Yeah. So it's like, yes, there's definitely a world where the other person wins this trade. The Metcalf side wins this trade. Absolutely. Yes. It's not a terrible trade by any means.
Yeah.
But you're basically hoping and praying that Metcalf goes somewhere really good.
Yes. What if Metcalf's a Bengal? Then what?
Yeah, like any team that we talk about T. Higgins going to could easily just go get Metcalf instead. What if he ends up with Justin Herbert?
Yeah, right. I mean,
sure.
That is sexy.
But
what if he ends up with AOC?
Yeah, right. What if he's a Raider? So, yeah. I do get the point. And like the perfect example of that to me was Zach Charbonnet a few years ago, right? In the draft, everyone was like, he's going to be the next great running back. And then he was a Seahawk behind Ken Walker. And I remember watching Russ like on the draft stream with Fantasy Cares, like literally like pulling his hair out as that happened. And it's just like, how did that, like, it was his, like, it was like his favorite rookie running back.
And he's been, and
he went to Pete Carroll.
Whenever Walker doesn't play, he's been pretty damn good too.
So yes, to your point, John, absolutely. You can absolutely have bad outcomes. To me, there's more good than bad though.
Possibles. Yeah. I mean, luckily, either way, you either have Amon-Ra or you have BTJ McBride. You know, like, you're not losing. This isn't one of those trades where all of a sudden your team's just garbage and that kind of thing. So, like, either way, you'll be fine.
I'm trying to think, like, what if he, what if he's a Jaguar?
Okay, so Herms sent Russ a trade offer.
Russ is going to die on camera.
Kyler Murray.
Oh, no.
For Garrett Wilson. And a 25-second. What's my second?
That's very team dependent.
Yeah,
the 203.
Are you getting Kyler Murray?
I'd be getting Kyler Murray. My team is. I only have
all day.
You would pay up for Kyler Murray?
I would trade Garrett Wilson in a second for him.
Kyler Murray was the most
I don't think I'm as high on Garrett Wilson anymore as you guys are.
Yeah, well, no, Kyler Murray got, like, the Dak Prescott treatment this year. He was, like, QB12 for all the crap he got. It was just very up and down.
He's been a QB1, like, every year of his career in points per game.
I benched Kyler Murray, and it cost me a title. I mean,
like Garrett I said, Wilson, that's very team-dependent. I need to – I mean, again, you got third, so I'm assuming you need a QB or something.
Kyler is the new Dak, I think. Unless Dak is still the Dak. Maybe he is, but Kyler might be the new Dak.
I mean, if you need a lot, then sending that 203 hurts, you know, even more than, you know, like 2-for-1 deals are when you start getting closer to winning, not further away.
Where's Herms? There's Herms.
I like the initiative from Herms, though.
Me too.
He has. Okay, so here you go. Garrett Wilson and the 203 for Kyler Murray and whatever second yours is, Herms. There you go. I want to move back. I don't want to get out of the second. There you go. I countered.
That's a good counter. I like it.
That's
there you go. Well, process, baby.
I'm shutting up.
oh, I know. I probably shouldn't do it, but I don't care.
I would. I think that's too much for Herms.
So anyway. Now that we're talking about Trade Addicts 10, which is where the next trade is.
We did it.
Boom.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I love doing these live trades on the air. Russ does it on some of his other shows. They are the most entertaining content for me.
Herms says it's for the content. Herms is my my house buddy in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. So like I just spent an entire week with Herms.
What a house that is. I love it. Oh,
dude, we had some fun. My liver is going to be recovering for quite some time, but we had some fun. But all I know is ever since when Herms finally joined Trade Addicts League, and he would run some trades by me and stuff, and I'd be like, you know, like, it's not bad. It's not bad. He's like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the content.
Herms has always been there for us. Absolutely.
It's good.
So there's another trade in Trade Addicts 10, and there's another story behind this one, but I'll read you the trade first. So it's a couple of picks. It's the 104, 203, 301, and 310 for TJ Hockenson, Calvin Ridley, and the 111. So one more time, 104, 203, 301, and 310 for TJ Hockenson, Calvin Ridley, and the 111. John, what do you think?
All right, so I saw this one at first, and I was like, you know, getting TJ Hockenson and moving up from the 203 to the 111, Calvin Ridley's not a thing, but, like, you know, he's at least a decent throw-in. But, I mean, I when I say not a thing, I mean, like, not like a game-changing part of the of the actual trade.
At this point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fine, but, like, I'm not changing my opinion on the trade just because Calvin Ridley's in it, essentially. But when I started really thinking about it, and I mean, obviously it's a super flex league. There's a very good chance that you're getting a quarterback there at 104, or if people have freaked out about the quarterbacks ahead of you, then you could possibly be getting an Ashton Jeanty or a Tet McMillan at 104. And I mean, I've seen mock drafts and stuff, and obviously it's still really early, but I mean, I've seen mocks where Tet McMillan drops to 104, 105, sometimes even like 106. And it blows my mind. Like he's by far the best wide receiver in this draft class. He's unbelievable. So maybe that's in the back of my mind just saying, like, I might be able to get Tet at 104. And if you have that, like, give me that side all day, every day. But there's also some players that I really like around that 111, 112, you know, even getting into the 203 range, where I feel like somebody could slip. You know, obviously you're always banking and hoping and praying, you know, that doesn't happen. And, you know, you don't let somebody trade up and take BTJ from you. But I just think that because of what that 104 can be, worst case scenario, it's going to be one of the high-end quarterbacks in this class, which isn't saying much, but we also know how people lose their minds about your Bo Nix, your Michael Penix Jr.'s, and everyone else. You know, look at Jaden Daniels is like basically QB1 overall now. So I think I'm sticking with that side because you still have some nice like third round picks. You have the 301 and you have the 310 as well. So like it, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're getting a decent set of picks there, and I think you can actually end up with some really solid pieces.
Well, I don't have the 203 anymore. Frank, what do you think?
Is it? I want to start my thought with a question. Is Hockenson Dynasty tight end 3?
He's around there.
Really?
I don't think so.
For me, he's still up there.
I think so. Who's 3, John? I mean, obviously, it's Bowers and McBride, right? Are we all saying yes to that? That's top 2?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate to say there's such a tier break, but I still think I have like Kittle at 3. You know, even though he's really old, but like it's not like Hockenson's some spring chicken either, and he's coming off that injury. He didn't quite look the same, albeit with Sam Darnold. I really feel like Jordan Addison has like solidified that the wide receiver two role on the team. And then obviously there's Justin Jefferson. So it's like, you know, you can only earn so many targets in that offense. It's really tough for me to have him at three, and that's kind of probably nitpicking, but I definitely wouldn't say like he's a slam dunk. He's at three.
Yeah.
I still think value wise, Laporta may be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He started to come on towards the end of the year again, too, before it did.
I just think there's so much turnover with the Lions. That's freaking me out a little bit. But
with this trade, I actually would take the other side, which is probably not a surprise because I'm a big Hawk guy. I basically looked at it as, you know, I'd be willing to drop seven spots in a iffier draft, especially after you assuming Jenty and Ted aren't there. To get Hockenson and then Calvin Ridley for a second and two thirds, or if you want to throw the third into the Hawk value, whatever, it's close enough for me. I would do that. I'd still be, and even especially in this class, John had mentioned, you know, guys like Penix and Nix. Last year you were getting those guys at 111, so you might get a quarterback that ends up hitting for you anyway at 111 because people aren't super high on them in this class anyway.
So do you know what's funny is Hockenson's 2 years older than McBride.
Oh, wow.
McBride's 25, Hockenson's 27.
I just looked at my ranks. I do have Laporta at three still and Kittle at four. So it's
Kittle's sneaky old. I didn't realize he was 31.
He is.
Like it's the 2017 class.
No, I know that. It's one of those things that it just goes away in my mind.
So... you know that the new commercial that's out, you know, I think it's like Nationwide Insurance where it's like, it's always good to check before you go. And it's yes. Like the guy at the
high tide.
Yeah, Alabama game saying hi tide roast to everyone.
Duck. Yeah.
The guy who wants to cook roast duck at an Oregon game. I could have swore this pick was the 102 and didn't check before accepting this trade. So... It like I'm not like super heartbroken that it's the 104 and not the 102, though I accepted this and really just thought it was the wrong pick. And I wasn't gonna ask him to
say the 102, I take that side.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said before, my team is bad, and this happened clearly before, you know, the Herms trade that happened live 5 minutes ago.
Who also just said Pat Freiermuth's tight end three.
Well Homer. So I wanted those, like I wanted a couple of picks. The 104 and the 203 really did seem appealing at the time, even though I thought it was the 102 and 203. I'm not super thrilled with this trade, but I would have been if it was the 102. Yeah. But I'm glad that other people were picking the picks because that was the side I got.
I'm mesmerized by DLF ADP for tight ends right now. Kittle is tight end 7 behind Mark Andrews and Dalton Kincaid.
Ew.
He's 31.
So
yeah. I don't care. But
I have DTC pulled up because we did Wall Street today. Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Sam Laporta, George Kittle, TJ Hockenson.
Okay. And yeah, DLF is Bowers, McBride, Laporta, Hockenson, Andrews.
I think more important than the ranks is the actual tiers because, like, you know, you just mentioned 100%. Five tight ends, but I mean, you're really talking about three or possibly four different tiers that we're in. So, like, yeah, sure, you can call them the tight end five, but like, give me obviously give me McBride, give me Bowers, give me even Laporta. Like, I'd feel more comfortable with that.
This is why Rocky would only give like two things for Brock Bowers in a non QB assets.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the listener questions.
Let's do it.
Frank, read your own damn question.
It's time for our annual Justin Jefferson temperature check, and I think I stole this from a JWB video, actually, where someone was talking about what to do with Jefferson. I think it was Wyatt, I want to say. But, you know, new QB, Hockenson's another year healthier, Addison's not going away. If you get the Godfather deal, I've asked this last year. If you get the Godfather deal, are you taking it? Or are you holding Jefferson? You know, let's say I offer you Gibbs and a first.
Well, I mean, you're making me go off to a running back, which is going to
okay,
be
fine. A I'm offering yeah, you. Tough. I'm offering you Brian Thomas in a first.
No.
No, no. See, the thing is, like, I'm going to
Brian Thomas a first and a second.
The second's never going to really move much after that. Like, I'm going to want two solid players and the prospect. Like, I want, like, I don't want to pick if I'm sending a stud like Justin Jefferson away. I need, my team needs to be different. Like, my team needs to be made if I'm sending Justin Jefferson away. Like, it legitimately needs to be a godfather deal for me to say yes.
So the answer is you're not selling him, basically.
No, I'm not.
You're not worried. He's QB proof.
Yeah, I'm with Russ, and also all the things you mentioned there were the case 2 years ago when he was great then when he was healthy. So like I'm not worried about Addison and Hockenson.
I'm so scared of JJ.
Other than the you know the new QB thing, but yeah. So I mean, and we don't know for a fact it's a new QB yet.
I mean, it's going to be JJ McCarthy. Like he's going to be healthy. He's going to.
It's not Darnold. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But.
That ended when he got sacked 150 times.
I think the scariest thing we have to worry about is the Daniel Jones bridge, if McCarthy isn't healthy.
I haven't watched somebody lose that much money since the last time I went to the casino with my buddy Jeremy. Like that was wild.
Are we surprised, though, with Sam Darnold?
No, of course not. I was surprised it took so long for it to happen. I wrote an article for DLF, like, halfway through the season, I'm like, look, guys, this isn't going to last forever. And then everyone's like, hey, look at this idiot. And then finally the game happened. I'm like, hey, guys, come on.
Real big pressure games. But I'm also I said this before, kind of the belief, too, even if it is McCarthy, I'm sort of now of the belief that O'Connell and the staff there can kind of work some magic with any quarterback after what happened with Darnold this year. So even if you're not a big McCarthy believer like I'm not, I still think
it's really easy when you have Jay Jeff and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson and Aaron Jones. Like, life is pretty easy.
McCarthy is like the quarterback version of Zeke Elliott. If you need 10 yards, he's going to get you 10. If you need 15 yards, he's going to get you 10. So I'm scared of him a little bit, but.
The only player I think that really makes sense, like somebody might do for Jay Jeff and that I would be willing to trade Jay Jeff away for would be Malik Nabers, I think. If you give me like Malik Nabers in a first, we're good. I don't know if I think I actually have heard that it's like someone did something very similar recently in one of my leagues. So I think it is possible. It's just going to be. Obviously, if somebody is like, yeah, I'm scared of the whole Giants situation, like that kind of thing. But, man, I love me some Nabers. Give me Nabers in a first, and I'll make it work. I'll take that risk.
All right. Let's move on to Tommy Blair at fftommyb.bluesky.social. What does it look like to be good at navigating the non-point scoring season? It looks like this.
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
And see, I was going to say, let me know when you find out.
Yeah, me too. I haven't figured it out yet. So, Russ, how do you do it?
It's a lot.
You have to keep paying attention. It's very easy to lose track of your leagues in the non-point scoring season because there really is dead zones. Like, we have 11 trade addicts leagues, and we had 2 weeks without any trades whatsoever. It happens. People get fatigued after the championship. But keep trying, keep guessing, keep trying to find the players you like, keep trying to make some moves. Try and go get those free agents before they swap teams and raise some value. Go trade for the DK Metcalfs because you think that he's going to be moved to a different team. You know, that's what it's really all about. It's about not ignoring. Basically. What?
It's hustle.
That's yeah. And like, it's not... You know, it doesn't have to be a job or anything, but it's by making it a non-zero effort, you know, putting in any effort whatsoever is better than what probably half of the managers in your league are going to be willing to do. So if you're able to do that, and also I'm of the mind that I know a lot of people need to see a starting lineup no matter what time of year it is, but I'm not that kind of person. So, like, just gain the value on your rosters, and then you'll figure out who you need to start when you're much closer to having to start a, you know, an actual lineup. But it's all about just increasing value with every single move you do. Not every move has to be gigantic. Not every move needs to involve an early first. You can, you know, two-thirds for a second. You can just go do these small moves that make your team a little better, a little better, a little better, because it adds up. So I think, what does it look like? It looks like trying.
Yep. Russ manages his running backs like people do stock portfolios. He sells them all at the end of the season and then picks them all back up with like 2 weeks left before the season starts.
This is going to sound blasphemous, but like, I don't even think you have to make trades right now, because there's a lot that's still going to happen. Obviously, the combine hasn't even happened yet. Free agency hasn't happened. There's so much that's going to change. But I think, in my opinion, like, being good at navigating the offseason is actually taking a good, honest look at, realistic look at your teams.
Yes.
And figuring out, is this team ready to be blown up? Is this team ready to compete next year? Like, that kind of thing. You don't even have to make a single move, but if you're preparing to make those moves when the rookie draft comes or whatever it might be, and you know, this is what I need, or this is what this team needs, like, you know, to make things work, or I really need to start blowing it up. So I need to be looking like, who's making what moves, who's going out in the chat saying I need a wide receiver, like that kind of thing. Take notes, actually realistically, honestly, look at your teams, and then you can do whatever you want, like, later on in the off season. But I think that's my goal, is to really, you know, do that for my 30 dynasty teams, you know, at the beginning of the off season, and then we can always get into trading. Trading doesn't ever go away.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, and John kind of made this point, just be honest with yourself. If your team is stuck in the middle, like, if you're in the middle because you had a few injuries, like, you can maybe sell yourself on that. But if you fell upwards into the middle, it's time to reevaluate. And apps like Twitter are still good for a couple of things, and one of them is watching, like, a lot of people who are sitting in Mobile watching Jalen Royals go wild, and that's the stuff you should be watching. You don't even have to read the comments. In fact, don't read the comments. Just watch the video, watch the tape, because there's people sitting in Mobile so I can stay in Chicago on my butt and not go to Mobile, Alabama.
Like, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Although Dreamland Barbecue literally exists, and it's yes, life changing. So yeah. you might want to go ahead and make that trek anyway.
Yeah, I one of these days I'm going to do that. But that's what all this is for, right? Like, you don't have to, like Russ said, it doesn't have to be a job. Like, you know, in your commute to work, like, check you know, Jim Nagy's Senior Bowl Twitter. Because he usually consolidates all the main people watching. So, like, check stuff like that. And, you know, just pay attention. Like Chris said, it's like, it can be 5 minutes a day. Just check, you know, what's going on and who the prospects are. Listen to people like Zach Reed and John and people who are going to really know more about these prospects coming in. Read an article a day. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything crazy.
Yes, go check out the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel and check out the rookie Hootenanny from the Dynasty Dummy.
Yes. And also thank you, Herms, for eating barbecue for everyone else's sacrifice.
You're our hero.
Yes.
Yes, and also listen to Herms and all of his brilliant
yes
stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Next question. Abs 82-0. That is very optimistic. It took me a second after the first time I read that. I'm like, oh, hockey. Okay, I get it. I get it. Yeah. All right.
It's nice. A sport that's played in the winter on ice. You skate.
Yeah. I went to a Devils Rangers game, and I took a picture of the game as it was going on. I'm like, what kind of football is this? How do they play on the ice? I felt very funny.
Yeah.
But Avs 82-0 at bluesky.social. In a 10-team start 10, two quarterback with no premium, is this group good enough to, is this good enough, or do I need to pull the trigger on bigger pieces? So two quarterback, 10 teams. The quarterbacks are Stroud, T-Law, and Drake May. Running backs are Gibbs, Najee, Tyrone Tracy, Travis Etienne. Wide receivers are JSN, DK Metcalf, maybe on two different teams soon. He says Smitty. I'm assuming that's Devonta Smith.
Rocky, is that Smitty? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So JSN, DK, Devonta Smith. I love this wide receiver. Chris Olave and Calvin Ridley.
I was saying that in the pre-show. This is all of Russ's favorite wide receivers.
I know.
All it needs is T. Higgins.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not a tight end premium because he has Bowers and Laporta. And then the 105 and 226 firsts. In a 10-team, like, I think you do need to bulk up your wide receiver room a little bit. And
use one of those tight ends to do it. That's my move.
Well, I would, yeah.
And like, sell Bowers. That's my move. Not in tight end premium. I know Rocky's going to give me dirty looks now, but.
No tight end premium, it changes.
Tight end premium, Bowers and Laporta are the same to me.
Yeah, oof, so I would know. Sell Laporta, upgrade, you know, yeah, Laporta just, and Olave for a really good
return on Bowers will be bigger than Laporta. Let me put that.
Yes, 100%.
I just think 105 more
draft a running back.
Yep.
Because there will be good running backs at the 105, especially in a two quarterback, because the quarterbacks will most likely be gone.
Burden might be there at the 105 too if he lands somewhere fun, but people are very up and down on him.
And then you have 26 first to do something during the season if you have any injuries or anything. Like, I do think you have a very good team. You do need to do some upgrading because it's 10 team, but you have great bones. Like, maybe try and upgrade a quarterback a little bit, see if you can get a difference maker out of someone. Like, you have three good quarterbacks. You don't have a great quarterback on your team, though.
Maybe you attach one of those 26 firsts to the quarterback.
Yeah,
like Stroud, I mean, May could get there, and obviously we know how Stroud was, you know, and he was QB1 for some people, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever. I feel like if this was a 12-man league, yeah, you're ready to go, man. Like, this is it. Exactly, in a 10-man league, I can't get behind it. Like, it's not that far off, and you can compete with this team, but it is not ready to win a championship as is. Like, there's some moves that need to be done. And that being said, with the 10-team league, there's no way you couldn't pay me to trade Bowers, even though it's not tight end premium. Like, you could not pay me to trade Bowers unless it's just something ridiculous that's gonna like literally net me a championship, and I'll go, okay, I'll figure it out later. But yeah, add two firsts to Laporta, go get a really stud wide receiver or something like that to add. We were talking about a Neighbors before, obviously a J. Jeff, a Chase, somebody like that, whether that tier one or tier two. And then go. And then with that 105, I think the last thing you need to be worried about is drafting another quarterback, even though you don't have like a true stud. There's not that many stud quarterbacks in this draft class. So I feel like you either go running back like Russ was saying, or like RB1, RB2, whatever, or you trade back in this instance, you know, trade for a future pick, trade for something else. I don't know. Because if it's just QBs that are available there, I'm not taking one of them, I don't think.
Do you guys like Law or T-Law or May at value more?
May.
Yeah.
Really?
Give me May. Especially if we're at all value, assuming that he's going to get some kind of upgrade, you know, which how could he not almost? But
Lawrence just did too, though. He got the QB whisperer.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm a very big Lawrence fan and clearly love Brian Thomas Jr. They should bring in another pass catcher, and hopefully Engram stays healthy. But it's getting hard to believe the upside we believed would be there for T-Law can still be there after everything we've seen. I think he's good. I think he can be better. But I don't think we're going to see a top five quarterback out of T-Law or anything. And not to say that May is going to be top five, but
he's possible.
The hope is still there that he can still elevate.
Yeah. The only reason I ask is because Lawrence is QB 17 and May is QB 10. And to me, that seems too far apart. Especially because Lawrence now plays in Duval.
Rock, did you speak on this? Do you have anything to add?
You guys basically said, I just think he needs more elite assets in a 10-teamer. And unfortunately, his most elite assets are the position where it probably matters the least in this format. So I would just try and upgrade anywhere, you know, maybe pack consolidate two of the receivers into one elite receiver, something like that. Or package one of those picks plus something to upgrade. Yeah.
Find the one guy who still likes Olave.
And give him... the good news is you have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next question. Jonathan at DFF underscore S Jonathan 02. Do you watch award shows like the Oscars or Grammys? I legitimately can't remember the last time I watched any of
them. Yeah, I used to, but I haven't in a while.
I'll catch it because my wife does. So, like, I'll walk out and she'll be watching it, and then I'll be like, oh, I know this person. And I'll sit down and, like, watch, or if, like, you know, the announcer's telling a joke or something, I'll listen. But actively watching it or going out of my way to watch it, absolutely not.
My kids love the Grammys for some reason. It was on, like, all night the other night. So, but I didn't watch, like, any of it.
I'm like the oldest young person there is. I don't know half the people on the Grammys anymore.
That's the big problem these days. Like, I used to work in a movie theater, and then I went right to working in a movie store because there used to be movie stores. Yeah. It was still a video store back then. Yeah. I built the racks to hold the DVDs. That's how long ago it was. Like, I watched the Oscars back then because I knew, like, I saw every movie, so I knew them all, and I knew everything. But, yeah, I'm old. I don't watch anything anymore. And now there's too many good horror movies coming out that are getting recognition, and I'm terrified of horror movies because I am a scaredy cat. So I'm definitely not getting anywhere near any of those. So, I don't watch award shows because I don't care about the stuff
anymore. I mean, Beyonce just won Best Country Album. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's all you needed to know.
So,
all right. Renshaw, at that Renshaw guy, would you rather never get a haircut again or never shave again?
I've never had a beard, so I have to do the haircut again.
And you grow one.
No.
That was patchy. Basically the reason for my answer. See this? This is like 3 weeks worth of growth for me. So I would definitely do the never haircut again.
The longest I've gone is like 2 weeks.
This grow would be even worse.
Yeah, it's bad.
If I could grow a beard, then it might be different.
I kind of hate both because I love growing out a beard. I mean, this is probably the shortest of my beard's been in quite some time. And it was just because my wife surprised me one day and was like, hey, you're going to a work meeting with me. And I was like, my beard was like out to here. And I'm like, well, I got to do something. And anytime I do it personally, I always hack it up. And so I messed it up. And then I had to end up going back to the barber and like getting him to do it, which is what I normally do. But like I said, she surprised me. So this is the shortest it's been, but once it gets to a certain length, it gets so freaking itchy. I can't stand it. But that being said, like my wife would actually divorce me if I had long hair. And so I guess I have to go with the beard because, I mean, I will say like as itchy as it is, it's just so easy just not ever doing anything and just letting it grow.
See, this comes down to logistics for me. If hair grows forever, at least it's behind you. If your beard,
I was literally thinking the same thing.
Like that's literally what crossed my mind. The first thing I thought of was like, man, if my beard gets too long, I'm going to step on that, and that's going to hurt. Like that's really where I'm at. And plus, first of all, my hair grows out more than it grows down or out. Like so. I think either way, it doesn't matter for me because it's all going to stay on my face and block me from walking through doors eventually.
You'll never.
I don't think there's a good option here. I like having short hair like on top, and like I really don't like getting too bushy with the beard because, like I said, it gets itchy and very annoying.
I feel like this was just the pandemic for 3 months. Was you couldn't get a haircut again or shave again.
Right.
You had like a real beard trimming going.
Oh, see, that was the easiest time in the world for me. I just took when I was quarantined, I just took a buzzer to my head. I could use the same thing for the beard, you know, just go right from the head right to the beard. It was so nice and easy because I did not care what I looked like.
The hair I have now is because of the pandemic. When I was pre-pandemic, I used to cut it to like a 2. My hair was like as short as Russ's, and now I grew it through the pandemic.
I just wish
I had hair like Zach Reed, personally, but
this long, flowing,
yes,
nothingness.
I feel like I'm talking about him too much, but you know, never too.
You
much.
Just miss him. That's all.
I do.
You will never steal my man, so don't even worry about him. Oh, here we
Zach's
go.
Good people.
Rocky, you can leave if you want. It's three food questions.
Time for food questions.
Yeah.
Nathan Althoff at MT Dynasty FF. Favorite Super Bowl dish? Wings are my 101.
You might as well read the next one, too, because it's another Super Bowl.
Oh. Drew Reinecker at Coach Reinecker. What's your favorite Super Bowl food, and why isn't it meatballs and grape jelly and chili sauce?
Sounds gross, but I'm not going to knock it too hard.
Wonderful.
Really?
It's
yeah.
My neighbor used to make it every Super Bowl, every New Year's Eve, and it sounds like it's going to be disgusting, but especially after you tossed a few back, like, oh my gosh.
What's really funny is my grandma used to call these Swedish meatballs, and we would just be like, Nanny, that's not what Swedish meatballs are. She's like, shut up. These are Swedish meatballs. I'm like, yep.
Just eat it.
Walk me through it. So you mix the chili sauce with the grape jelly, or...
Yeah.
And it just sits, the meatballs just sit in like a soup type of thing, or you dip it like yes. a sauce?
No. Usually it's like a crock pot style.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, oh, hot jelly.
It doesn't, it doesn't really taste like grape jelly anymore.
No, you get a little sweetness, but I mean, honestly, it tastes like barbecue sauce when it's all said and done. I get it. It like the first time I was like, yeah, I don't know, but they're like, just try it.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
When we do the SFB draft in Russ's basement, he's going to make them.
Yes, so. I will. When we have SFB Live Russ's basement, I will have some quote unquote Swedish meatballs there.
But my actual favorite Super Bowl food is basically just my favorite football food that I basically make every Sunday, which is smoked jalapeno poppers. I cut a jalapeno in half. I make a cream cheese sausage and Rotel tomato blend, put it in there, and then wrap it in maple bacon, and then smoke it for 3 hours. And you want to talk about like changing your life? That will change your life. And that's essentially what I eat every single Sunday while I'm watching football, which is why I'm not a small person.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this pod so I can write that down, because I might.
Hey, you look good for a man that eats that every week.
Yeah.
And drinks heavily, but you know, here we are.
Don't we all?
See, like, wings would be my 101, but I hate the mess of wings. Like, I don't want wings at a party, because
no, yeah,
you're standing there with a plate and wings, and you have
to sauce dripping off your face. Yeah,
it's too much to do. Like, yeah. I need to be sitting at a table and eating wings, because I do love wings and I do want to eat them. I think my go-to is like just a buffalo chicken dip. Is yeah. just give me some chips, give me some dip, and I will just put the crock pot in front of me so I could just sit there scooping.
Yeah.
Rocky. Rock, there's got
to
be
something. Am I supposed to answer this question?
Yes.
Chicken nuggets.
Buffalo chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
It's not too far off, because it's a pretty boring answer, but just give me pizza.
I was going to say pizza.
Nice. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
This is what I usually eat during the Super Bowl, so yeah. I'm not a wings guy at all either, so.
Do you put anything on your pizzas?
Huh?
Do you put anything on your pizzas?
I mainly just like bacon. I've sometimes had either, like, I've had chicken parm pizza and meatball pizza. But those are basically my three toppings that I like.
I don't know if I know this, Rocky. Do you like cheesesteaks?
Not really. I can eat them, but.
Okay. So, pizza?
I'm very horrible Philadelphia.
Pizza? With, you know, fried chicken cutlet on it, like chicken parm pizza, pepperoni, and hot honey.
Yeah.
Yes.
The guy here calls it the chicken honeymoon, and you feel like you're on a chicken honeymoon when you're eating it. You take a bite and you're just like, oh yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Pepperoni's a little spicy in the first place, and then you get the hot honey kick in, and then the chicken gives it the heft to it. Like, so you're like eating a meal on a slice. It's just so good.
My answer is pizza at a party, but if I'm just like, you know, not doing anything too big, you know, I did this a few years ago and I think I'm going to do it this weekend, is I love making a chili for.
I haven't done that in forever. And again, we talked about it. Pepperoni and chili.
Yeah.
It is. So you get the cubed pepperoni, first of all, and then you cook that first. So, cause that gives you a whole lot of nice grease to cook.
I might have to try that, cause I haven't done that since we talked about it. I might have to try that.
You cook everything in the pepperoni grease, and then just make sure you cook that pepperoni up nice and crunchy, because when you throw it, you're going to throw that in the chili, and you don't want it to soften up too much.
Yep. That's my Super Bowl right there. The jalapeno poppers and chili. I'm going to go back and listen to the pod and write all this down and go from there.
I'll come visit you in the hospital. It'll be great.
And I do love wings as well, but I'm completely with you. Like, I don't want to eat that at like someone else's party or something. No. When I will devour wings, but I literally sit over my sink, my kitchen sink, and eat wings like as I'm just sitting there. So anything that drops or whatever just goes right there. Yeah. That's how I eat wings. Like, I hate sitting on a couch or something trying to eat a wing. It's just not happening.
And you always feel so weird, like eating the boneless ones with like a fork, right? Like at Buffalo Wild.
Oh yeah,
like that. So no, you can't. Yeah. So
no, this is America. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't.
Look, I'm not poo-pooing chicken nuggets with sauce on it, which is exactly what boneless wings are. Don't correct. Get me wrong; they have their time and place. But when you talk about
Rocky wings,
it's yes.
So last question at Tequila Operator. If you could be a condiment, which condiment would it be? And why is it Frank's Red Hot? Well, Fred, Frank's is the right answer because you put that shit on everything and I want to be involved in everything. So
yeah. Sure.
I mean, Herms is still in the chat, so I got to give him a shout out. You know, Old Bay Hot Sauce. We had that while we were in Mobile, Alabama. You know, we had a Airbnb and, you know, we went grocery shopping and we're like, well, we got to have some kind of hot sauce to put on this. We got jerk pork shoulder, jerk seasoning, not like the pork was a, or the pig was a jerk or something like that. But we got,
well, you don't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also true. You know, it made it taste better. But we got jerk pork shoulder with like peppers and onions, all that kind of stuff. And we're like, we got to have some kind of hot sauce to throw on this. So we got the Old Bay hot sauce. And I'll tell you what, I was just pouring that stuff all over it. But that's not necessarily what I want to be. I don't. I really struggle with this question. This
I can't believe you found Old Bay in Mobile, Alabama.
Right. I guess it's getting pretty legit there. But like, do I want to be a condiment? Is there a reason why I want to be a condiment? Do I want to be in people's mouths? I don't know. I'm very confused by this whole question.
That's where I'm at with this question. Why do I want to be a condiment?
Yeah.
What about you, Frank? Come on.
I'm Frank's Red Hot, baby. Well, you already. Frank. Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. Well, on this glorifyingly amusing note, that is the end of our show.
As John and I have been coughing through the whole show. Perfect.
Yes. Thank you, Mike, for that wonderful ending. Before we head out of here, John, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
All right. So you can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Coach A. I am the host of the Devi Devotional, which can be found on Optimus Fantasy. I am also the host of the Devi University podcast, which can be found on JWB Fantasy. I'm a writer for DLF, and I play a lot of fantasy football. So you can find me on Sleeper and all that kind of good stuff, too.
Can I ask one question before Russ closes it? Who was your favorite at the Senior Bowl? Who was your favorite player to watch?
Well, I'm like the biggest Jackson Dart fan, so like that's the obvious answer. But honestly, Dylan Gabriel really stood out. The only thing is he's 5'10", and so it's just really difficult to be 5'10". But I'll tell you what, like he looks like a legitimate NFL quarterback with all of his throws. He's accurate as can be. He had the highest velocity of any quarterback at the Senior Bowl. So I mean, he has arm strength. He has accuracy. He was hitting every single pass, every single route that was being run, he was hitting it. So he did everything he needed to do except for pass the Herms test. And if you don't know what the Herms test is, Herms is roughly right at 6 feet tall. And so if you do not surpass Herms in height, then you are not allowed to be an NFL quarterback. And unfortunately, that's really the one big thing with Dylan Gabriel is he does not pass the Herms test.
Yeah. Sorry, Russ. I just wanted to squeeze that in because I knew it was at the Senior Bowl.
Get that good content out there. Absolutely. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You could be here with us while you record. Talk with us the entire time, kind of like Herms, just sort of kept us company this entire time. Also, we have our awesome Cool Kids Club chat on Discord. But also more importantly is fantasycares.org. There are some squares left for the Super Bowl. Maybe, I don't know, by the time I put this out, if there will be, I don't know, because there's very
going fast. Left.
Yeah. Yeah. But also on Tuesdays, starting in 2 weeks on Monday, Trivia Night Live, hosted by Joey Wright, which I am very excited for.
Are you playing?
I think I'm there on the first night. I think. I haven't double-checked with the wife yet, because it's the first week I would have off by not doing this. I'm going to be...
I was going to say, next week is Russ's last show, everyone. So everyone send Russ happy comments and make him cry. Let's do it.
Don't do that. I'm bad at taking compliments. Don't be nice to me. So Monday nights, Trivia Night Live. Tuesday nights, the Rookie Hootenanny from the Dynasty Dummies. Wednesday nights is the Wednesday Night Hangouts, all on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel. Give them a subscribe. Hit the bell so you can get the notification every time we go live. And comment and thumbs up our videos, because it makes us feel nice. I talked about the squares. That's it for Fantasy Cares. That's it for everything. That's all for... Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ. Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.